Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. I'm coming to you from Kenya today. Just a brief update of what is happening here in Kenya. We now have 18 children in the children's home, and we're preparing to take a baby into the home of 6 months of age. And so we have all ages now going from baby to about 14 years, maybe 15 years. And then we also have a school going at the children's home. We have about 22 or 23 children in the school. And so things are moving along well there. Kenya is still not open to crusades, so we don't have any crusades scheduled here in Kenya. Tanzania is beginning to open to crusades, and we have a tentative crusade there that we're organizing. We don't have a date set for it, so we are moving a bit slowly in that direction, but when things open up, we'll be back on the crusade trail, preaching crusades all over East Africa and in other places. So that is the update from Kenya. We're going to be talking about the resurrection today, and specifically the rapture. And this is a concept that is very clear to me in the Bible. It's very clear when you study the scripture that there are two aspects to the second coming of Jesus. And the first is Jesus comes back to gather up the church. He does not set his feet on the earth. He does not come back to establish his kingdom on the earth. He comes back to gather the church, and he takes them to heaven with him. And then that is the instigation, or I guess you should say the fulfillment of the marriage supper of the Lamb, Revelation chapter 19. You can study that on your own. But Jesus spoke about the rapture. He spoke about gathering up the church, and so did the Apostle Paul in a couple of scriptures in the New Testament. And so we'll put these pieces of the puzzle together and show you that the rapture is a very clear, concise concept put forward by Jesus and the Apostle Paul. Well, in John chapter 14, Jesus is talking to the disciples here, and chapter 14, 15, and 16 of the book of John are the most extensive words of Jesus anywhere in the New Testament outside of the Sermon on the Mount, outside of the Olivet Discourse. Jesus does a lot of teaching and instruction in John 14, 15, and 16 about the second coming, about the Holy Spirit and the discipling of his followers. And so in verse 1 of chapter 14, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Verse 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Well, this is very comforting when Jesus says, "I go to prepare a place for you." And he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Beloved, right now, if you are a born-again believer of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the angels of the Lord are preparing a mansion for you this very moment. And the size of your mansion, the extent of your mansion, is determined by your works. It's part of your rewards that you receive. As part of your reward, the Lord is building mansions for you in heaven. And Jesus said, "If it weren't so, I would have told you." In other words, this is so. Jesus is saying, this is the truth. "And I go to prepare a place for you." In verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And so he doesn't say, "I'm going to come back." In this instance, he doesn't say, "I'm going to come back and establish a kingdom for you to live in." He doesn't say, "I'm going to come back and live with you and we're going to rule and reign." He says, "I'm coming back and I will receive you to myself." But this is very key, the words that he uses. He says, "I'm coming back to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Well, that's a key to the rapture. That's a code to the rapture right there, because Jesus says, "I'm coming back and I'm going to receive you to myself." And then you will be with me where I am. And so we'll look at this scripture over in Thessalonians, and that will give us a lot of information. That will give us a lot of revelation on what Jesus was saying when he said, I will receive you to myself, that you may live where I live also. Well, the Apostle Paul is the chief revelator. He is the chief proponent of the rapture, or the chief revealer of the rapture. Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 books or so of the New Testament, and he also was taken up to heaven to see the reality of heaven. He had a very, very intimate walk with the Lord, you could say, to the extent that the Lord used him to write many books of the Bible, and also the explanations were given to Paul so he could explain it to us, that he could reveal it to us. And so I consider the Apostle Paul to be amongst the greatest of the kingdom workers here on this earth. Well, he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let's start in verse 13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. And when he says the word fallen asleep, he's talking about those who have died, those who have gone on before us, those who have believed in their Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They have fallen asleep or they have died. And Paul says, I don't want you to be without hope. I want you to have hope of what is happening with those people. I want you to have hope of what is happening with you in regards to the afterlife. That's what he's talking about, in regards to the afterlife. What is going to happen with you after your time on this earth is done? And so Paul says in verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him, will bring with Jesus, those who sleep in Jesus. And so this is very key. If you believe that Jesus died and rose again, which you must if you are a Christian. If you don't believe that, then you aren't really a Christian. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ showed his power over death, I urge you to go to Israel and try to find Jesus' bones in a tomb over there. You will not find it. And so if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Jesus those who sleep in Jesus. And then Paul goes on in verse 15 to give more detail of how the rapture actually will happen. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep, those who have already died. For the Lord himself, verse 16, will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And so Paul said, those that are dead are going to rise first. Those that are alive and remain will not be going first. Those that have already passed, have passed on to their heavenly reward, are going to arise and go with the Lord, and they are first in the order. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, that Jesus Christ himself was the first fruits of all creation given back to God. In other words, Jesus Christ, of all the created men, he was the very first given back to God. And so when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he spent 3 days and three nights in the tomb, and then he came out of the tomb, and his body was seen. He was seen walking around on the earth, first by the ladies that came to the tomb, then by Peter and John, and then by many disciples, up to 500 in one point. And then the Lord took him, and his body, his glorified body, then was seated beside Jehovah God at the right hand of Jehovah God in the heavenly realm. And so the ones who follow after Jesus, those who have died and believed in God, believed in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, those ones then come. Jesus is number one, or Abel, because Abel was the first killed on the earth. He was the first to die. So Abel may be number two. I'm just speculating here. But every person has a number in the order in which they are taken up because God is a God of order. And so those of us, Paul said, those of us who are alive and remain, we will not precede those who have already died and gone to their heavenly reward. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself, this is the sequence of events that will happen. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So all of those who have died, all of those going way back until the time of Abel, the first death, all of those will rise first and go with the Lord. And then, Paul says in verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Notice in verse 17, he doesn't say the Lord is going to come back and establish his kingdom on the earth. He says that those who are alive and remain shall be caught up. There's the word rapture, harpazo. They shall be caught up, snatched away together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. It doesn't say Jesus set his feet on the earth. Jesus did not set his feet in Jerusalem or the Mount of Olives. It says we are caught up to be with him in the clouds, in the air, to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Well, that is your resurrection, beloved. That is your resurrection body. If your parents or your grandparents or your ancestors have already died, they are asleep in the Lord, they will be caught up first, then you will go. If you're on the earth, if you're walking on the earth at the time when Jesus comes back, then you will be caught up in order, in your numbered order, and thus you shall always be with the Lord. And so your resurrection body, your glorified body, will then be with the Lord and join your soul and your spirit that is already in heaven. That's the way it works. It's very clear and concise how it's explained by the Apostle Paul here. You shall always be with the Lord in your resurrection body at that time, and not just your soul and your spirit in heaven. And therefore, Paul says, comfort one another, verse 18, therefore comfort one another with these words. Well, it's very comforting when we can comfort people and tell them you don't have to fear death. There's no reason to fear death because Jesus Christ himself took authority over death. Jesus Christ himself took the sting out of death. He proved it by rising from the dead, and he proved it because he wanted to show his power over the devil. He wanted to show his power because death had entered the human race. Death had entered all creation, not just humans, but all creation. And so Jesus showed his power over death, that he is the Messiah, the one who came to save us from our sins. He was the one who set us free from the wages of our sin, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And so Jesus Christ said, I have come to give you freedom. I have come to deliver you from the wages of your sin. Well, this is a very wonderful, beautiful concept. And so I'm going to turn back here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and finish out here today. And this is also the Apostle Paul speaking, and he's speaking about the resurrection. This chapter 15 in 1 Corinthians is often called the resurrection chapter. I urge you to read the whole thing because it's full of good teaching. It's full of revelation on how your earthly body is laid in the grave, and then it rises to join the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Paul says in verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. When he says it's sown, that means it's put into the earth, just like a seed. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, that is your fleshly body. He's calling it a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body, that is your glorified spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Verse 45, and so it is written, the first Adam became a living being, and the last Adam, that's Jesus Christ, became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterwards the spiritual. Verse 47, the first man was of the earth, made of dust, that's Adam. The second man is the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. As was the man of dust, is also those who are made of dust, that's us. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. So we are made of dust in a replica of, or a duplication, a replica of Adam, the first man, and we also are made a heavenly man as our second man, Jesus Christ. The second man is the Lord from heaven, and so we too will be a replica, or in that template, we will be taken to heaven as a heavenly man. And so as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. This earthly body that you have, it will be finished. You will be finished with it soon enough. After 70 years and 10, or if by strength 80, or possibly even 90 or 100, you will be finished with your body, and your friends and family will lay that earthly body down into the grave, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and corruption does not inherit incorruption. Verse 51. Now, this is a description of the rapture. Verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. He's saying we're not all going to die. There will be some people here on the earth that will be changed without death. They are not going to experience physical death or natural death, because when Jesus comes back to gather up the saints, just as we saw in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when Jesus comes back to gather up the saints, some people on this earth are going to go, they're going to be taken, they're going to be taken in their order, and they will not experience physical death. They will not be laid down in the grave. They will be taken at that twinkling of an eye, at that very moment. They will be taken with all the saints, and this is the rapture. Paul explains it very carefully that some... This is a mystery, he says. This is a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Well, some of you may have seen the movie series Left Behind that came out several years ago, and it was very accurate in its depiction of the rapture. There were a bunch of people in a bus, and people also walking down the street, or in a car or whatever. Maybe people even sitting in church are going to be raptured. Yes, they will be. Some people, if Jesus comes on that day when people are in church, some will be raptured, and some, unfortunately, that are sitting in church will still be left there, and they're going to be wondering where their colleagues and their brethren went that are no longer in the seat beside them. Well, it sounds a little bit comical, a little bit whimsical, but it's very serious, beloved. It's very serious, because you need to get right with the Lord if you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You need to do that. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. So in all seriousness, even though the Left Behind movies made it appear a bit whimsical and a bit comical, if half the people left in the bus are left behind, they are in a serious way. They are going to be facing judgment through the tribulation, and then even more serious than that, they will be facing the great white throne judgment if they do not come to the Lord, if they do not see the obvious signs of the Lord in their life and respond to that, they are going to be left behind. And beloved, you don't want to be one of those that is left behind. You will be facing the great tribulation, which will be a terrible time on this earth. And we have not seen anything even close or even closely resembling the great tribulation. If you read through the book of Revelation chapter 6 through 19, you're going to see that terrible, terrible things are going to come to the earth. All kinds of terrible judgments to try to urge people and shake them out of their doldrums and shake them out of their rebellion and urge people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and declare him as their Lord and Savior. So back again in verse 51, we shall all be changed. Verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's how long the rapture is going to take, the twinkling of an eye. It will be quickly. It will be over quickly. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. That's when you receive your glorified body. You are glorified, and you will be taken to heaven with the Lord, and you will be seated at the marriage supper of the Lamb when all of the saints, all of those who have believed, will be seated with the Lord Jesus Christ for that great supper in heaven. Verse 54, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortality has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 55, death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? And that is a scripture from Hosea chapter 13. It's a prophecy. Death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, came to set us free from our sins. He came to set us free from death and destruction, from corruption. And so Jesus Christ proved that he had taken the sting out of death. He proved that he had victory over Hades, that we are not consigned to hell. We are not consigned to Hades. Through Jesus Christ, we have been set free from the plans of the enemy over our life. Verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul sums it up here in verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Well, Paul gives us a very encouraging word there. That last verse, he says, be steadfast, be immovable, and know that your reward is coming. He says, don't give up hope. Don't quit. Stay in the race. Stay in the fight. Our battle isn't against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, rulers of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And Paul says, I know you're going to get weary. I know you're going to get tired. But Paul says, stay in the battle. Stay in the fight. Be steadfast. Be immovable. Because your reward in heaven is coming, and it will be great for those who finish the race. Well, beloved, I hope that is you today, that you are steadfast, that you're immovable. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, know that you will be taken at some point. Nobody knows when Jesus is coming to rapture the church. Nobody knows what day or the hour, not even Jesus himself said, I don't even know myself, only my Father in heaven knows the day or the hour of my coming. And so Jesus Christ didn't give us any tips. He just said, the signs of my coming will be obvious, just as you see the signs in the weather and know certain storms are coming. Jesus said, you will see the signs in the spirit realm and know that my coming is imminent. Well, my question for you today, beloved, if you're listening today, are you ready? Are you ready to be raptured? Are you ready to come out of the world. Are you ready to join Jesus Christ and the saints in heaven? It can happen any day. It could happen today, tomorrow, next year, 10 years from now. We don't know. I don't know. You don't know. But I tell you, if you're ready, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to be on the planning committee. You can just be on the welcoming committee, and you can be ready when the Lord comes to gather up his saints. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I thank you again for listening today. I thank you for all the prayers and contributions. We invite each and every one of you to help support this radio broadcast, to help support the Africa Mission and all the good things happening here in Kenya. And we invite you to sit down, write us out a check of support. Let us hear from you. Let us know you're listening. What would you like to hear on these radio broadcasts? If you have prayer requests, include those prayer requests. If you write us a letter, or you can email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and let me know your prayer requests. I would be happy to pray with you over anything happening in your life. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.